This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb. And tonight's guest,
Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Jr. Tonight's topic, what kind of education after high school?
You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, night people. This is Gibb. Standing by in Bethesda, Maryland is Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Executive Director, American Association of Junior Colleges. Dr. Glaser is a pioneer in the junior college movement in the United States. And if you'd like to ask the doctor a question on tonight's topic, what kind of education after high school, or make a comment about the role of the junior college in America today, give us a call here at Night Call. Our Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make the call station to station. The operator is on duty. The lines are open. The number to call us at is area code 313-846-6601. Dr. Glaser, what is a junior college?
Well, perhaps it's a little easier to describe a junior college than define one. There's a great variety of junior colleges. Ordinarily, these are institutions that offer 2 years of education beyond the high school. They offer programs that lead to transfer to four-year colleges. That is, people go in at the third-year level after they finish 2 years in a junior college. Or they offer programs that lead directly to employment or to the assumption of the responsibilities of the citizen in the community. Incidentally, there are almost 800 of these institutions in the country now. Probably an easy way to classify them is about 300 of these are independent and church-related junior colleges. About 500 now are publicly supported community colleges. Now, a community college is a kind of junior college, but it's particularly geared to meeting the needs of a local community.
Well, Doctor, what should be the primary function of a junior college? Just meeting the needs of a community?
No, meeting the needs of the individuals, I think, would be the primary function. And most of the junior colleges these days are geared to meet the needs of a wide variety of students. They offer a broad pattern of courses. Many of the public institutions are usually very accessible geographically. That is, the student can live at home and still go to this institution, the commuting student. The costs generally for the public institutions are quite low. Many times there's no tuition at all. So certain barriers of geography and finance are very definitely eliminated by the publicly supported community college.
Well, could you give me a description of the typical youngster that attends a junior college?
It's a little hard to describe a typical youngster because, again, I've got to emphasize the wide variety of institutions. A church fellowship, for example, might sponsor a junior college. And people go to this institution from all over this country or from countries abroad. Sometimes a church will do this because they want to conserve their resources and offer a strong two-year program, which then have fewer four-year institutions. So there's an economy factor built in here. Also, the junior college emphasizes the teaching and counseling function. I think this is very important. But students go to junior colleges many times because they do want good teaching. When the president of a junior college is looking for faculty, he's looking for teachers. This is the primary responsibility. They might go to a public institution because they don't have an awful lot of money or because they want to save their money for upper division work or graduate work a little later on. Many of the students attending the public institutions are first-generation college goers. Somebody's described these institutions as being instruments of social mobility, opening the doors to people. people who would not have had opportunity to go to college otherwise.
In other words, it's a gradual way to get introduced to college life and university life, then.
Yes, that's right. Particularly, you see, in the public institution, the student doesn't have to go away from home. Many of these students, incidentally, are working part-time, too. They have a chance to explore various fields of knowledge, to clarify their objectives a bit. And then if they decide it is appropriate for them to go on and they can find that the course of study that appeals to them, then they're ready to go on.
Academically, how do these students rate compared to the first two-year students at a regular university?
It's interesting that you say regular because many times people talk about regular colleges, and this seems to imply that junior colleges are irregular. I'm sure you don't mean that. But how do they compare? Well, there's a broad spectrum, if I may use the word here, of capacity or talent. Some of these students are very brilliant. Some of these people they managed to get through high school. That was about it. But in general, students in junior colleges, we got such a broad spectrum here that I have to be careful on it. But in general, the students who are in junior colleges possibly are students who don't rank quite as high on some of the national tests as students who are in highly selective universities.
Well, now, why is this?
Well, you've got to keep in mind, incidentally, that when you talk about a four-year college, you're talking about all kinds of colleges. Just when you talk about junior colleges, you're talking about all kinds of junior colleges. But there are students who are entering junior colleges given an opportunity to enter these institutions on the basis of high school graduation that when they graduate from high school are not able to enter the university because more and more of our universities are becoming quite selective in their admissions policy. Even some of our state universities now will not take a student who hasn't graduated an upper half of his high school graduating class. And in a place like California, you've got to be in the upper 12% of your high school graduating class in order to go directly to the University of California. But you can enter a junior college. And if you do a good job there for 2 years, you can transfer then to the University of California.
Academically, we're saying that it depends on the individual, that there are some very bright young people in junior colleges and there are some average young people.
Let me say one other thing. You've got to, I think in terms of different kinds of intelligence, not brightness or dullness as such. There's some people who will do a brilliant job in qualifying as a nurse or a dental hygienist who might not be at home in the upper realms of philosophy, and the people who are in philosophy might not be at home in this other field. So it's a matter of different kinds of intelligence, I think.
Well, what about this idea that possibly the regular four-year institutions are pricing themselves out of a social class in the United States and that they are becoming selective via the high cost of some of these four-year institutions, whereas the junior college will allow youngsters from financially deprived families to attend? Aren't we, in a sense, building a class distinction here?
Well, it is true that as you ask junior college students, particularly those who attend the public institutions, why they are going, the financial factor looms right up here almost immediately. They say that I'm going here because I can afford to go to this institution. I can live at home, I can work part-time, and I don't have to pay tuition, or if there is some tuition, it's very low. Now, of course, there are some publicly supported four-year colleges and universities, too, you know. But in general, this has been one of the real motivating factors in the very rapid development now, particularly of the public community junior college.
Well, do you think this is good or bad, this idea of this social drawing the line between classes here?
Well, I say this, that institutions have to have money to operate on. And it's up to an institution, I think, to define its own purposes in terms of its own clientele and its own resources. And more and more in America, the way things are shaping up, our students are going to have to go into the publicly supported segment of higher education. This isn't to say the job of the private institutions is not going to be an important one, But the big bulk of our institutions are going to be enrolled in public institutions, whether they're four-year colleges, universities, or junior colleges.
Our guest tonight, Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Jr. Our topic, what kind of education after high school? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where you get the idea you can make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, night people. Our topic on Night Call tonight, what kind of education after high school? Our guest, Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Jr., and Dr. Glaser is the executive director of the American Association of Junior Colleges. So if you'd like to ask the doctor a question or make a comment about junior colleges, give us a call here at Night Call. The operator is now on duty, and we are accepting calls. The number to call us at is area code 313-84-666-01. Now, if you get a busy signal, don't become discouraged. Just hang up and dial again. That's area code 313-84-666-01. Dial us direct, and if you wish, you may make the call collect. Doctor, we have a caller now from Trucksville. I see that line is not working here. Let's go over to, we're going to try it, okay? In Trucksville, Pennsylvania, a listener on WBAL, R.J. Morgan. Hello, Mr. Morgan.
Hi, sir.
Speak right up. You're on Night Call, sir.
Trucksville, Pennsylvania is, as you would imagine, in Pennsylvania. And the topic tonight being, what kind of education after high school? Now, in Pennsylvania, we have a bit of a problem, Doctor, in that the state legislature has said, yes, junior colleges are fine, except we don't want to finance them because we feel that junior colleges are going to do no more than make college bums out of people who don't want to be high school dropouts.
Yes.
What may or may not be the answer to this question?
Well, I'm somewhat aware of the problems in Pennsylvania. I've been there several times to confer with various agencies and authorities in the state. I don't know how we can determine whether these people are going to be educational bums or not. As I travel around the country, and I do a lot of it, and I get into a lot of communities, I visit a great many institutions, and I've been very impressed by the seriousness of purpose of these people who are going on to community colleges. And incidentally, many of these people aren't kids either. They're people who are 25, 30, 35 years of age. In fact, Miami-Dade Junior College has enrolled this year a person who's 78 years of age. But many people who are adults, and believe me, they mean business. So I think it's our responsibility in the United States of America, if we believe in the kind of freedom of opportunity we talk about, and if we're concerned about raising the level of intelligence and enlightenment of our citizenry, to provide opportunity. Now, we provide the opportunity, we aren't going to be able to determine what people are going to do with it. but I'm convinced of the necessity to provide the opportunity for education beyond the high school, and I think it's a public responsibility.
Doctor, what is a educated bum?
I don't know. This is a thing that gets you a little irritated these days. People engage in name-calling, I think, rather than really discussing the issues.
Could this be because of some of the students that have been demonstrating and that maybe have a beard and wear the sandals? Do you think that's what they're referring to?
Well, I don't know. You don't see much of this in community colleges. I'm not going to make any comments in regard to some of the other sister institutions. But a community college, ordinarily set up for business. These people buckle down to work. They're there because they want to be there. There's nothing exotic about the campus setting, usually. It's generally attractive. But people are there. They want to take advantage of the opportunities in the institution, and they want to get along to whatever they're going to do after that as quickly as they can.
Doctor, I'm not a college bum. I am a college graduate, and I do have a beard, and I am employed as a radio news director in a 5,000-watt radio station.
I'm not criticizing beards.
I'm glad you're not. The question I ask is simply this. Is the junior college system one which is going to make inherent in the system in which we live another 2 years of not going in the Army or not working or what have you?
Well, let me comment on that. If you ask Secretary Wirtz of the Department of Labor how he feels about this, he'll tell you that the kind of technology we have today in this country is demanding that more and more of our people have at least 2 years of education training beyond the high school. There have been any number of our national policies commissions recently that have come out with the same statement. The President's Committee on National Goals said this. The Educational Policies Commission said this. So we're going through the same kind of development now that we had a generation ago in regard to the high school. And many of the same questions that are being raised today about whether it's desirable for high school to be a public responsibility and for it to become a universal opportunity, these are the questions that you're hearing today about raising the level of education in the country to another 2 years beyond the high school. But it's my observation, and this is occurred in by these commissions that I've cited, it's my observation that our socioeconomic setting is going to demand this of our people in this country.
Mr. Morgan, I want to thank you for calling Night Call, and I want to tell you this, that in a couple weeks we're planning a special show on beards and haircuts in the United States, and I think you'll probably want to call in that night and make some comments.
If I'm here, I'll be happy to call.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan, for calling Night Call. Mr. R.J. Morgan from Trucksville, Pennsylvania, listener on WBAL. Good night, sir. Let's go now to New York City, listener on WBAL, Mr. Earl Fraley. Hello, Earl. Speak right up. You're on Night Call.
I'll let the issue guess, Russ. First of all, I'll treat my question.
All right, sir.
I'm here, Mr. Fraley.
Okay. Earl, can you speak up a bit?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to know if he was a good stuff, your guest would encourage young men and women who's just coming out of high school continue on for the 2 years of college. Second, I would like to ask your guest if he would encourage the young men and women to take up a category of being a professional category. And finally, I wonder if your guest would ask if it's possible that where the person could not take it, if they could work out such a situation where young men and women who are coming up today could go in and financially go to school and pay the tuition somewhere.
In other words, on a time payment basis, is this what you're asking?
Say, listen to Ray on this question.
Okay.
I would like to listen to Ray on economics.
Oh, and then you're going to leave. All right, thank you. Well, Earl, you can hear the answers on the phone, you know.
Right. Oh. I would just call myself giving somebody a shot at quick.
Russ, Ross, just give me the gist of that.
Okay, he had three questions, Doctor. The first one, he wants to know whether or not you recommend for young people to continue on to junior colleges after high school. And the second, if you would encourage most of these people to go into professional fields. And then how do you recommend that a youngster who cannot afford a junior college, how can he get some help?
Well, first of all, whether the student is going to go on or not is certainly a matter of individual determination. But at the same time, as I said just a few minutes ago, I think the times are going to require our young people to have more education than was true 5 years ago. And I've already cited some of the commissions that have referred to this. So certainly, I would encourage students to go on for to education beyond the high school, but certainly not necessarily to the professional field, because this doesn't fit all people. Now, there are some people who ought to take a 1 or 2 year program in a junior college, which would lead them immediately into employment. I'm thinking of semi-professional fields. I'm thinking of nursing or dental assistants or dental hygienists or electronic technicians. There's a growing need in our country for people who do this kind of work, and the four-year college program just does not fit all people. But in this country, we're afflicted with, I talked with Jomo Kenyatta when I was here, did a study there about the possibility of establishing junior colleges. And he said our people are afflicted, I think, sometimes with academic disease. But we're still afflicted with that in this country, too. We have a student who wants to go ahead and become an engineer, and he takes the first year or two and then drops out. So a student like this might very well take a program, a technician-type program. Later on, then, if he wants to, the doors are still open, and he can go ahead and qualify later on to be an engineer.
Junior college credits, then, are acceptable to four-year institutions.
Of course, if you change your objective, or there would be some courses in an engineering technician program that might not taken for full value in an engineering program, you'd have a little work to make up. Because there's more emphasis put on the manipulative skills, for example, of a technician than an engineer. But the doors are not open. You are able to go ahead. Now, what about, was that other questions on financing, wasn't it?
Yes, he was concerned about whether or not an individual, how one would go about financing college.
You take the community colleges in New York State. The tuition, ordinarily, it's higher in New York State than in some of the other states, but ordinarily doesn't run more than $300 or $350 a year. And if the student lives at home and can work part-time, presumably then you'd be able to swing that. Actually, I like a system where the tuition is lower than that for these publicly supported institutions, either no tuition or a tuition that doesn't run more than $100 to $150. I think if it gets much over that, you do price some of the people out of the market.
Earl, I want to thank you for calling that call. Mr. Earl Fraley? Thank you very much, sir.
Russ,
yes?
I want to make one point correction on that. When I said in the professional field, I only meant that if there is time to get into the professional field, that includes training for a professional field, such as electronics, type, and stuff like that. In order to go into that field like typing, he would have to have that training. That's why. And I do know in New York State that colleges is triple to what he just said.
In other words, cost-wise.
Clarify that, okay?
Okay, thank you, Earl. Good night, sir. Mr. Earl Fraley from New York, listener on WBAL. Doctor, did you get the comment that Earl made about the fact that he said that costs are triple that?
Well,
you mentioned earlier.
To know the situation that we might not be talking about the same institutions. I'm talking about the publicly supported community colleges, New York, which are all a part of the system of the State University of New York. These institutions, the student pays one third of the cost per student cost each year, and with a student cost running around $1,000, then the student pays roughly $350 tuition. This is the formula that's used.
Our guest tonight,
Our guest tonight, Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Jr. Our topic, What Kind of Education After High School? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him?
It's a great life, but it would be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb. Our guest tonight, Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Jr., who is the Executive Director, American Association of Junior Colleges. Our topic on Night Call, What Kind of Education After High School? If you'd like to ask Dr. Glaser a question or make a comment about the role of the junior college in the United States, give us a buzz here at Night Call. The number to call us at is area code, get your pencil, 313-846-6601. The lines are now open, and we await your call. Now remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make the call station to station. The number is area code 313-846-6601. And doctor, we have a caller in Billings, Montana, a listener on KGHL, Bob Maynard. Hello, Bob. You're on Night Call, sir.
Doctor.
Yes, sir.
College plan.
Russ, I can't quite hear.
Bob, can you speak up a little bit, please?
Yes. I'm a junior in high school now, just setting my college plan, and I hope to be an automotive engineer, and I heard that Ford has an institute in Dearborn for this sort of thing. Is this a two-year deal where I'd go to a junior college first, or is it a graduate school where I'd get a degree in engineering first?
Yeah, well, I'm better acquainted, I shouldn't change automobile companies here on you, but I'm better acquainted with General Motors Institute in Flint, and that is a four-year program. In fact, I think they're offering some graduate work now. Now, in a college like Henry Ford Community College, which is in Dearborn, Michigan, does offer two-year programs in the automotive field. And I presume a person could take 2 years in an institution like that, and if he did want to continue for a bachelor's degree in the field, then he's able to transfer to another institution to take his second 2 years.
Bob?
Yeah?
Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
If you want more information about a course or a program like automotive technology, particularly for two-year programs, I'd like to refer you to a book called American Junior Colleges. I'd like to refer you to a book called American Junior Colleges. It's published by the American Council on Education. That's 1775 Massachusetts Avenue, Northwest, Washington 6.
Bob, thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good night, sir. Mr. Bob Maynard from Billings, Montana, listener on KGHL. Doctor, do you think that present public schools might be increased to grade 14 and more or less make junior college mandatory for all American youngsters?
Well, I think that in another 10 years, we will find a very high percentage of all of our students who are coming out of high school going into junior colleges. In fact, in some of our states already,
well over half of the students beginning their college work are doing so in junior college. And probably in, I don't know, 10, 15, or 20 years, going to a junior college or taking another 2 years will be almost as common as going on to high school today. However, the trend is not towards the extension of the secondary school as such. This is the way the thing started, incidentally, back in 1901 in Joliet, Illinois, with adding another 2 years to the high school. But the trend now is toward the establishment of separate units. That is, these colleges are being established with their own districts, their own boards, their own campuses, their own facilities, and they seem to have developed to a much greater extent and developed more rapidly when there is some break away from the high school or away from the secondary school as such.
Of course, doesn't this increase the administrative costs when you break it away from a public school system?
Oh, not necessarily. In fact, what's happening is that financial base is becoming broadened. More and more of these institutions are being established with a county district. Here's Dallas County, for example, which has just established a community college. They had an election, had a $41.5 million bond issue, which was passed. They're going to be developing three campuses concurrently to serve the whole county. And I don't think you can make a case for administrative costs being higher as a result of this kind of a structure.
Do you think that the American people want more education, really, for their youngsters?
Well, I think the fact that almost six million people are going to be entering the doors of our colleges, universities, junior colleges, or are entering this month, is ample testimony to this.
In other words, people do want this, but why do they want this for the youngster?
Well, I get a little discouraged about this sometimes. Just looking at it very practically, more and more I hear people saying our kids ought to go on to college so they can get a good job.
And make more money.
That's it, yeah. And I think this is very unfortunate, but I'm just reporting this as an impartial observer.
Well, I want you to tell me why you think it's unfortunate that they say it this way, Doctor.
Well, I think there are many posts in our human enterprise, if I can put it that way, that need to be manned by very competent people, well-trained people, well-educated people. And these posts are probably not, they might not be paying very much. It might be that you're not going to get a great financial reward. But these jobs need to be done, they're important, and the people, most important, the people who are participating in them are going to get a sense of individual fulfillment as a result of this. And I think that more and more we need to think in terms of educational opportunity being provided. Not so much. I agree that it's necessary in order to meet our nation's manpower needs and for the security of our nation. But I would like to hope that a lot of this can be done so that people can have a sense of individual fulfillment and growth and expression of their potential, their capacity, and so on. I think this is basic.
Then you're saying there's a difference between the educated man and the trained man.
Yes, actually, though, I think we need both. I'd hate to see it either or. I think the trained man should be an educated man. I think that when we prepare for occupations, we need to be preparing a kind of person who's an effective citizen, who can relate well to other people, a thinking individual. It's just not a matter of training a person for a certain manipulative skill. But on the other hand, you train the person in his values, philosophy, and so on. And in the kind of society in which we live today, we still need to have these manipulative skills. But it's a both, not an either-or thing.
Do you ever get the feeling that many citizens look upon the junior college as a training school versus an educational institution?
Yes, yeah, I get that feeling.
Do you feel there's any validity to this idea?
People go to college for various purposes, and it's very difficult to generalize about this. Frankly, I like to think about the junior college as being a kind of institution to which a person can go. He can meet certain needs that seem to exist for that time. Then, if he's ready to go to a job, he doesn't need to stay 2 years if he can qualify that for one year. He moves out. But he can move back to the institution when he's ready to do this again.
We're talking about the junior college.
I'm talking about the junior college. Or he can go on to another kind of institution. One of the big problems in American education today is the fact that many of our students lack motivation. That is, they're not at all clear on what it is they want to do or why they are in the institution. And I think we need to find some way that we can relate these educational institutions more closely to the real important things that are going on in our country, that are going on internationally, that are going on in our community.
Have you any idea how we could bring on this relation or relating by the students?
Yeah, I think one thing that can be done, I'm in favor of more cooperative programs. That is, where a student works part-time and takes his work in an educational institution part-time. I think this makes a lot of sense. I think there are some students who might very well travel or work or do something else between high school and going on either to a junior college or a four-year institution. If they really can't be motivated, if they don't have any real want to in the institution, maybe they ought to be doing something else for a while before they go on to the college or university.
Well, that gets me on to another question. What about the individual that starts school, finds out that, starts junior college, finds out that he doesn't like the idea of the organized academic normal day? And he takes off maybe for 3 or 4 years, and then he wants to come back to the university. What about the age problem here?
Well, as far as the junior college is concerned, or the community college particularly, it's becoming more characteristic to see some of these older people on the campus. And incidentally, many of these people are taking evening programs, but they can come back for the day programs as well. But it's not unusual at all to see these people 25, 30, or older. People who all at once now have discovered that they know what they want to do, and believe me, it's a joy to stand in front of a class of people like this.
Now, what do you mean it's a joy? What's the difference between that?
I mean for the teacher, because here are people who know why they're in the institution, and they mean business. And believe me, they insist that the teacher know his business, too.
They're a demanding student body, then.
Exactly.
Do you think that California's on the right track? Now, if I understand it correctly, in California, if you have property there or if you live or if you have lived in the state for several years, you automatically get your tuition paid for you up to grade, to the second year of college.
Well, it goes beyond that. If you're a resident of California, you can go to the junior college or the state colleges or the University of California without tuition.
Now, completely.
There are a few fees that you pay, incidental fees and so on, but there is no tuition charge in the publicly supported universities, state colleges, or the 75 or 80 publicly supported junior colleges in California.
Now, do you think this is good or bad?
Well, philosophically, I certainly lean in this direction. Now, I'm not opposed to privately supported colleges and universities. I was president of one for 11 years, and they very definitely have a role, I'm sure of that. But at the same time, I think that we need publicly supported institutions, and as far as I'm concerned, I see no reason why these institutions should not make their services available on a tuition-free basis.
How long has California been practicing this program that they have going?
Well, actually, it started back in the early 1900s. I don't know what date. The first junior college there was established about 1911.
Are there any figures to show that this has helped the state of California having this free education for their youngsters?
Well, you might notice the large number of government contracts that seem to wind up in California. I mean, and research projects and the way the country's, the way the state's developing in population, and I don't think it's just the climate.
So,
because they've had there's an opportunity there for education, and then they've got the trained and educated manpower that business and industry are interested in.
Is any other state doing anything similar to this program that California has going?
Well, yes, there are other states. One, I think, that's very notable now, particularly from the standpoint of the development of the junior college, is the state of Florida. Since 1957, Florida has developed something like 20 or 25 junior colleges. They have one of these institutions within commuting distance of practically all the people who live in Florida now. incidentally, their new publicly supported university at Boca Raton does not offer the first 2 years at all. They take students who transfer from other colleges, particularly from the junior colleges, and they enter at the junior year level.
Our guest tonight, Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Jr. Our topic, what kind of education after high school? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America! Busy America! Busy making money! Busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with
the
you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment? Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line?
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him?
It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. This is Gibb. Our topic tonight on Night Call, what kind of education after high school? Our guest is Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Jr., and Dr. Glaser is the executive director of the American Association of Junior Colleges. So if you have a question about the junior college, give us a call here at Night Call. The number to call us at is area code 313-846-6601. The operator is now on duty, and the lines are open, so you can get your call through to us here at Night Call. That's area code 313-846-6601. And remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make the call station to station. The number, area code 313-846-6601. And we'd like to hear from you. And, Doctor, we have a caller from Denver, Colorado, a lady now, a listener on KTLN, Miss Margaret O'Shea. Hello, Margaret.
Good evening, and welcome to Night Call.
I have a bone to pick with Dr. Glaser.
Okay.
I have just been driving home from work. I am a registered nurse, and I've been listening to his program. And twice I've heard him lump nurses in with dental assistants and suggest that junior colleges educate dental assistants and nurses.
Doctor?
Yeah, I heard that. I'd like to know just what junior college, what two-year course qualifies anyone to be a nurse.
Yeah. Well, there are 130 associate in arts programs for nursing in this country now. These prepare these people to take the state board's examinations for licensure as an RN.
This is a two-year course?
There are 130. What's that?
Is this a two-year course?
These are two-year courses, yes, ma'am.
What state?
Well, there are a large number of states. New York is one of the states. New York, Florida, California, Michigan, Illinois. I can't hear you.
I wonder if you're talking about a practical nurse or a registered nurse.
No, I'm talking about a registered nurse, an RN. And there are 130 of these now. They started as experimental programs about 12 years ago. With six or seven experimental programs in cooperation with the School of Nursing at Columbia University. And they've expanded very rapidly since that time. And if you'd like a listing of these, if you'll write to my office, 1315 16th Street in Washington, D.C., I'll be glad to send you a list.
Margaret?
Yes, now I'd like to say one more thing.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems to me that I also heard you say that a junior college is usually doesn't prepare one to be a professional person.
What? No, I didn't mean to imply that. When you talk about a profession, I'm thinking ordinarily of work beyond
the bachelor's degree. Preparing to be a doctor, a lawyer. Of course, we get in trouble here because who defines
a
profession?
At any rate, with a bachelor's degree, right?
All right. If you say a bachelor's degree, then the person can take the first 2 years of his bachelor's degree program at the junior college, and then can transfer and take his next 2 years. So, in that sense, yes, you get partial preparation toward a professional objective.
Margaret?
Yes.
Did the doctor answer your questions?
Well, I'll tell you, he doesn't, the idea of a junior college annoys me.
Why is that, Margaret?
In the state of Colorado, and we have had people from junior colleges come in and try and sell them in our county. And the day they label them vocational schools, because they tell us that this is a good place for a child to spend another 2 years for what? You know, if you're going to train them to do something, at the end of 2 years, fine. To go out and make a living.
Margaret, are you a registered nurse?
Yes, I am.
You took 4 years, I take it.
No, I took my training in 1939, and I took 3 years at a diploma school.
I see.
But I know girls today, girls that I work with, who have taken a 4-year course, and I think it's great.
There's no differentiation here, then, between a nurse that has taken 4 years and 2 years. Is that it, Doctor?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The nurse who takes 4 years as a bachelor's degree. The School of Nursing program, the diploma school, ordinarily is a 3-year program. But this new program, the associate degree program in nursing, as I said, started a few years ago. The recent report by the Surgeon General's office, incidentally, recognizing the critical needs in nursing, suggested that primary emphasis be put on the expansion of these associate degree programs. Now, this is not to take the place of the Hospital School of Nursing, but just recognizing that our needs are so great that other institutions need to get into the game as well.
Margaret, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
You're welcome.
I've enjoyed your comments. Miss Margaret O'Shea from Denver, Colorado, a nurse who disagreed with the doctor. Thank you, Margaret. Let's go now to Denton, Maryland, the listener on WBAL, Mr. Willard Knotts. Hello, Willard. You're on Night Call, sir. Hello?
Mr. Gibbs?
Yes, sir. Your comment, sir.
Well, I'd like to make a little comment before I start, Dr. Baser. I was reading in the paper today that the University of Maryland might take up the plan of taking only the upper half of the high school graduates, I mean, even make them capable to enroll at the University of Maryland. And what I was wondering, there are a lot of kids in school who have a lot of capability, but do not apply themselves, and who, when they go on to college, will apply themselves. And so I was wondering if there shouldn't be a double standard, that is, not only the grade that they graduated in, they made in the graduating class, but also their IQ, or
their potential.
Capability test.
Right. Doctor, what do you think about that?
Well, of course, it's awfully difficult to determine just what the potential of the person is. And particularly, this business of motivation is most difficult to measure. And yet, it's one of the most important factors. Now, there's a whole business, too, of the person growing up as time goes on. All once he discovers what he wants to do, and away he goes. Of course, I get concerned, too, about people being admitted to a university or a college just upon the basis of whether he graduates from the upper half of his high school class or not. Ordinarily, I think this is not the only measure used, but there have to be some measures that are used, because more and more of our universities are having to give increasing attention to research, to preparation of people for the professions, to graduate work, and they just are not able to do all of these things and take the thousands of freshmen and sophomore students who want to come to the institution as well. So what might happen at the University of Maryland has already happened in a number of our other publicly supported state universities throughout the country. And if you're going to do this, and I believe in selective universities, If you're going to do this, though, you need to have these other avenues of opportunity open so the student can go to the junior college if he's a high school graduate or can give evidence he can benefit by the course. If he makes good there, then he still has the opportunity of transferring to the university. This way, you can have selective universities and still take care of these people who, well, they call them late bloomers, the people who haven't quite demonstrated their potential as yet.
Mr. Notch, you had another comment?
Yeah, well, just one more. I appreciate Dr. Fraser answering that. I think it's a real good one. But one other way that it would appear to me that universities and colleges are being crowded is, and I don't want anybody to take me wrong on this, but it seems to me that there are a lot of girls going to college which really they really don't intend to put their college education to use in future life. They're going to end up a housewife.
Willard, if you'd said that...
They have an awful lot of influence on the next generation.
I know they do, and I know I'm stepping on somebody's toes.
Willard, if we weren't as close as we are to closing the show, I'll bet that every woman in America would be calling and maybe disagreeing with you. Willard, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Right.
We enjoyed your comments, sir. Mr. Knotts from Denton, Maryland, a listener on WBAL, and I think if we hurry, we have time for one more caller, a gentleman from Baltimore, Maryland, again listening on WBAL, Mr. Paul Davis. Paul, good evening. You're on Night Call, sir.
Thank you. I have two questions I think I'd like to ask the doctor.
We may have only time for one, Paul.
Well, first, I have a business, a small business. It's doing right good, but I'd like to change for, not careers, but I'd like to get into another field of business. And I have enrolled in a business college, and I wanted the doctor to tell me, I'm 34 years old now, and I'd like just a two-year college to get into another field of business. That's a better training than business. I never had any business training. I wanted the doctor to tell me, should I go into this two-year college or go to a junior college and get a more refreshing educational training than go into a business field?
Doctor?
Yeah, well, again, it's a little difficult to answer right offhand without knowing more about it, but that's one reason these community colleges are set up, to offer these kinds of programs, and particularly in their evening school offerings. And you've got one of these institutions right in Baltimore, and I suggest you contact them. I think you'd find they have something for you.
Paul, I want to thank you for calling Night Call. Our time's up. Mr. Paul Davis, a gentleman from Baltimore, Maryland, a listener on WBAL. Thank you, Paul. And, Doctor, I want to thank you for being our guest on Night Call. I've enjoyed your comments, and I'm sure our audience have enjoyed your comments likewise. Thank you very, very much for being our guest, Doctor.
Thank you, Ross.
Our guest, Dr. Edmund J. Glaser, Jr., who is the Executive Director, American Association of Junior Colleges. Our topic tonight, what kind of education after high school? Until tomorrow night, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station as a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.